بسم الله الذي لا إله سواه الواحد الأحد الفرد الصمد الذي لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد. والحمد لله حمدا كثيرا طيبا مباركا فيه، حمدا يليق بجلال وجهه وبعظيم سلطانه وبحسن أسمائه وعلو صفاته وجزيل نعمائه، هو كما أثنى على نفسه لا نحصي ثناء عليه. والصلاة والسلام على نبيه المبعوث رحمة للعالمين، الصادق الأمين، الرسول المبين، وعلى آله من أزواجه وذريته وأهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين أجمعين، والتابعين لهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين، نسأل الله أن يجعلنا منهم، آمين. Today's session, inshallah ta'ala, is concerning some reflections on some of his most beautiful names, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as far as his that is concerned, as far as his being subhanahu wa ta'ala is concerned, when we say that for a human being, we mean by that the person, the body, characteristics of the human being. That four-dimensional identity that carries some characteristics. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's that is not like in any way the zawat, plural of that, of any of his creatures. He subhanahu wa ta'ala, in a sense, his that is veiled from us by his sifat, by his attributes. We have some knowledge of his that veiled from us by his sifat, by his characteristics, by his attributes. And even his attributes subhanahu wa ta'ala, as they are in his knowledge subhanahu wa ta'ala, are also veiled from us by his af'al, by his acts subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what we in our dimension as creatures witness and experience, we witness and experience his af'al subhanahu wa ta'ala, his acts in his creation subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we see the creation around us, the human being, the oceans, the trees, the actions of the human beings, everything is by the acts of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is the doing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How he does that and how that takes place itself is also veiled from us. And thus we say, الذاتُ مَحْجُوبَةٌ بِالصِّفَاتِ وَالصِّفَاتُ مَحْجُوبَةٌ بِالْأَفْعَالِ of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we experience Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at our level more directly through the manifestations of his acts subhanahu wa ta'ala in this cosmos, in this creation. Second, we must always know, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us, as Muslims in particular, and as believers in general, that as Allah says, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ. Usually this is translated as, there is nothing like Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is nothing like Him, which necessitates that anything we know of, or anything we envisage, or anything we imagine about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or about His sifat, His attributes, He is not like that. لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ. As a matter of fact, this ayah is very interesting. It says more than that. It says, it doesn't say لَيْسَ مِثْلُهُ شَيْءٍ. It says لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ. And those of you who know some Arabic language, you know that ka and mithl are two instruments in the Arabic grammar, both used for tashbih. Both used for tashbih, that is comparison. So when we want to say this person is like that person, you say hadha ka hadha, or hadha, or you say hadha mithlu hadha. This thing is like that thing. This hadha shay'un ka dhalika shay', ka hadha shay', or mithlu hadha shay'. You don't say هذا شيء كمثل هذا شيء. You don't say this thing is like that thing. But in this ayah, actually, it says there is nothing like the like of Him. Subhanallah. It's not only there is nothing like Him, but there is nothing like the like of Him. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Again, this veil upon veil, this veil upon veil of His subhanahu wa ta'ala, of His attributes, from the normal comprehension or idrak of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And pertaining to idrak also here, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, لا تدركه الأبصار وهو يدرك الأبصار لا تدركه الأبصار وهو يدرك الأبصار. The ayah usually is understood to mean that the eyesights, لا تدركه الأبصار, the eyesights do not encompass Him, but usually it is translated do not experience Him, do not see Him. And it is reported that one person asked Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma about how do you then resolve this. It seemed to that individual, to that student, a conflict. Because on one hand Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says لا تدركه الأبصار, and on the other hand Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us that on the day of judgment, in Akhirah, in Jannah, the dwellers of Jannah will see their Lord. The concept of ru'ya, the beatific vision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that they would see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he says, but Allah says in the Quran, لا تدركه الأبصار, sights do not, he understood, do not see Him. But then the Abdullah ibn Abbas rahimahullah ta'ala is reported to have replied, he says, do you see the sky? In the Arabic language, the word ru'ya, هل ترى السماء? He replied, yes. Ara, sama. He says, هل تدرك السماء? He says, of course, it was كان عربيا قحا. That person also was a pure-blooded Arab in terms of the language and the power of the language and the logic of the language. Because when he said to him, do you have idraq of sama? He said, no. He said to him, do you have ru'ya, seeing of sama, of the sky? He said, yes, I can see the sky. Do you have idraq? Does your vision encompass the sama? Do you know as you see, do you see the sama in all of what it is, really? He said, no. Then he understood. لا تدركه الأبصار سبحانه وتعالى. When I see the sun, do I see the sun? Do I see the sun? Yeah. Do I have a idrak of the sun? Do I encompass with my vision the sun? Do I see really the sun as it is? No. I have no idrak of it. I have ru'ya of it. Subhanallah. لا تدركه الأبصار سبحانه وتعالى. And I would like some of you also to reflect on the next part of the ayah. وَهُوَ يُدْرِكُ الْأَبْصَارِ لَا تُدْرِكُهُ الْأَبْصَارِ. Look at this. Absar, eyesight, do not have idrak of him. But it doesn't say, and his sight has idrak of the others. He says, he has idrak of the sights. Think about it, because it's not obvious. It is conveying a deeper meaning here. لا تدركه الأبصار. أبصار, the eyesights, do not have idrak of him. What should you expect as the mirror image? Is that his sight has idrak of others. But no, he said instead, he has idrak of the sight. He has a drak of the sights themselves, not of the one who is seeing only, but of the sight itself. And he doesn't have sight of the sight, he has a drak of the sight. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Laysa kamithlihi shay. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore, all his sifat, as we shall inshallah say, reflect on some of them, all his sifat subhanahu wa ta'ala are beyond, in other words, our human experience, our human realization. Yet the words that are used to describe his attributes subhanahu wa ta'ala are human words, in human language, in, if you will, four-dimensional language, to describe that which is not four-dimensional. That's why perhaps Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, Hibrul Ummah, the scribe of the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the one for whom Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prayed to have the ilm of ta'wil al-Qur'an, of deep comprehension of the Qur'an, of the interpretation of the Qur'an. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he describes, he says, what there is in Jannah, what there is in Jannah, paradise, in Jannah, of names of fruits and this and that, etc. He says, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the only thing in common between those elements in Jannah and those words are, and that, I'm sorry, which is like of it in this world, the only thing in common is the name. The only thing in common is the name. Rumman, Fakiha, Asal, Khamr, Ma, Wahakala. So the only thing in common is the name. It's beyond the four dimensional limitations. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are human beings, He created us as four dimensional beings. The way by which we understand things is a four-dimensional language. And imagine four-dimensional language describing something that is beyond four dimensions. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thus, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, pertaining to the same matter of Jannah, فِي الْجَنَّةِ مَا لَا عَيْنٌ رَأَتْ وَلَا أُذُنٌ سَمِعَتْ وَلَا خَطَرَ عَلَى قَلْبِ بَشَرٍ. Said Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what means, in Jannah there is that which no eye has ever seen, no ear has ever heard, no heart has ever felt. To make this also clearer to us, in order to get us, alhamdulillah, hopefully to a clearer dimension, if not a deeper dimension, of the Tawheed pertaining to the Asma of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and pertaining to His Rububiyyah, to His Lordship. Even in our human language, we have the concept of relativity. When we describe something, describe something A and something B with the same qualifiers, and sometimes the two things are not exactly the same. For example, when we say, and I like this to give this example, when we say this human being, this athlete is fast. The human being is fast. That human being is fast. And we also say, we use the same attribute to describe a plane. The plane is fast. So the plane is fast, the human being is fast. Is the human being a plane? Okay. As a matter of fact, the photon is fast. Photon of light is fast, and yet the photon of light is something very, very intriguing, completely different from anything we know, because a photon exists but it has zero rest mass. Isn't it interesting? No comparison with anything material that is fast. And yet we say it's also material. But it has no mass, no rest mass. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes Himself also as fast in reckoning, in counting, in computing. وَهُوَ أَسْرَعُ الْحَاسِبِينَ. The computer is fast. And the computer in Arabic is called what? Al-Hasib. Al-Hasub is Sigat Mubalagha. Al-Hasib. The computer is called Al-Hasib, and Allah in one of His attributes calls Himself Al-Hasib. So is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ta'ala Allahu an dhalika uluwan kabira, anyway like a computer? And he says he's Asra'u al-Hasibin, the fastest of all computers. By the way, before computers ever existed. It just happens that, you know, man invented something and called it al-Hasib. And Allah 40 centuries ago says, beware, Allah is Asra'u al-Hasibin. You know, man, when they invent something, when we invent something, you know, arrogance and vanity. So we think that's it. It's beyond everything. Man has gone, you know, where no one has ever gone before. You know, things like that. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that it's like humbling when I read it as an engineer. وَهُوَ أَسْرَعُ الْحَاسِبِينَ. For no matter what type of hasib you will have of the future, you know, optical hasib of the some future, we don't have them yet. Fastest thing you can have of computers, not electronic but optical, with working opto electronic computers. It's still a hybrid between electronics and optics and light. But imagine a computer that operates only on the basis of light. There's no time in doing things. Just so Allah says, "Wa huwa asra'ul hasibin." So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not like the computer. Yet there is the same word shared by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in describing Himself. Nor is the photon a human being, or like a human being. Nor is the way a photon travels like a human being runs, with legs and moves in space and in time. Nor is the photon kayfiyatu either. The way the photon moves is not like the way the human being moves. Anyways, I think the point is made. So that when we read in the Quran about the hand of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or in the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or about the leg of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or in the Quran, يوم يكشف عن ساق, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, or when we read in the Quran that He subhanahu wa ta'ala is all hearing and all seeing, and all His sifat subhanahu wa ta'ala, all His sifat, then we should keep this in mind. Why? Because He said, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ. There is nothing like the like of Him subhanahu wa ta'ala, because it is He who said, وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٍ. And there is no one comparable to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is therefore the norm by which we are to first, at least intellectually, mentally understand the asma of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and His sifat and His attributes subhanahu wa ta'ala. I would like this time to also say this, begin with this rather than as I would usually do when I speak or reflect for myself on the asma of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His sifat. Nurun ala nur. Yahdi Allahu li nurihi man yasha. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is nur. He described Himself as nur. The word that we have in Arabic is nur. The word that we have for that in English, for instance, is light. And obviously, already as we had established, physical light and light that we experience with our senses and light that we're talking about here has nothing of similarity between each other. Allah is nur, that's nur. The sunlight is nur, and so on. None of that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or is the nur of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the nur that is a sifa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, an attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number one. And that's why sometimes when we speak of nur pertaining to the spiritual dimension, still many of us would wait for a light. Yeah. Light, like light from a bulb or light from the sun. We oftentimes cannot escape to think about it that way. And that's normal, because in the progression of our of our tawheed, many things happen. Things begin, and at least they begin in our heads. We begin to have an intellectual, first of all, that before that, the most basic and the most basic, let's keep basic. The most basic notion we have of something is the physical dimensions of it. Then, more sophisticated is a mental knowledge of something. Correct? And the mental image or the intellectual cognizance is what we first have. Until gradually, in the path to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the knowledge about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that which is mental and intellectual will be in the qalb, and it will be experienced by the qalb, tasted, that's just a word, by the qalb. I'm not using my physical tongue to taste some food. When we say tasted, the qalb tastes. It is different than when the mind knows. Do you see what I mean? The attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we know them, excuse me, intellectually and mentally. For some ibad, it becomes a taste of the qalb. It becomes a real burst of some type in the qalb. Let me give you an example to help us understand that. We talk about fear or love. And if we talk about fear, let's say, intellectually, to describe fear. And then one would describe it in as eloquently as possible, as articulate as possible. And we can even use concepts of chemistry and electrical engineering and in order to explain what we mean by fear, what happens in the brain and so on and so forth. And you have fear. You know fear. But you know that when you know fear, you're not afraid. True or false? You're describing fear or describing love. It doesn't mean that you are afraid. Only when you are afraid, now you tasted fear in your heart. What it does, that's a taste of fear. That's the difference between knowing something mentally or intellectually and experience it or tasting it with the qalb. Now all these attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for most of us, it is intellectual and mental. If at all. For some ibad, it becomes, each one of them has a nur inside the qalb of that individual. Inside of the qalb of that individual, it becomes a nur. It is tasted. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is nuru samawati wal ard. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is نور السماوات والأرض, as he describes himself, is light of the heavens and earth, of all that is. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is نور in both are the source of nur in both the physical sense and the spiritual sense. Certainly, the world and the universe as we know it, the physical universe and physical life, would not exist without physical light, true or false. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created light and thus created life, physical concept and notion of life. If there is no physical light, there's no physical nur, nothing will exist and we live of living matter or of living beings. And also subhanahu wa ta'ala is nur in the spiritual sense. Without his nur in the spiritual nur in the life of a nation, in the life of a human being, of an individual, in his or her qalb, then that qalb is not living. That nation is not a living nation. Because it lacks light. And light is necessary for living, physical light for physical life. And the nur of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the spiritual nur for the spiritual life of the heart and of a nation and of a civilization and of human beings. Allahu nuru samawati wal ard. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also associate in the Quran nur, the spiritual nur, also with living, with soul, which is the source of life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَكَذَلِكَ أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ رُوحًا مِّنْ أَمْرِنَا وَكَذَلِكَ أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ رُوحًا مِّنْ أَمْرِنَا. And so we have revealed unto you a soul, literally translated, a soul from our matter, or a spirit from our matter. Ruhan min amrin. Allah calls his revelation, knowledge that he subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed, he calls that ruh. And we know as believers and as faithful people that if there is no ruh in the human being, there is no life. You have a still sterile body without life, if there is no ruh. Therefore, if the ruh departs, the body dies. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls that revelation, al-wahi, he calls it, al-wahi, he calls it ruh. وَكَذَلِكَ أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ رُوحًا مِّنْ أَمْرِنَا مَا كُنْتَ تَدْرِي مَا الْكِتَابُ وَلَا الْإِيمَانِ. Before that, you did not know what is kitab, scripture, and what is iman, faith, iman. ولكن, and here's the connection, ولكن جعلناه نورا ولكن جعلناه نورا نهدي به من نشاء من عبادنا. However, we made it, that is that وحي, that روح, a نور by which we guide our عباد. And thus here's the connection between نور and روح, that the spiritual nur is ruh, is source of life. For me, for you, and for the human beings, and for the jinns. Without that nur, there will be no life in us. And every seeker to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would be very concerned with this, and would be, I think, my first realization of this through Al-Imam Ibn Al-Qayyim's teachings, rahmahullah ta'ala, many things happened to me by the beauty that is carried here and by some implications that are carried here. Do you want to be away from light, physical light? Can you be away from physical light for a while? You can't. You'll be searching for it. Physically, you'll be searching for it. You'd be going mad and distressed. All what this is saying to me in particular is, look for the light of your qalb. You may be dead while you don't know, spiritually. And that there is no life without the nur of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, without the nur of the wahi. Also connected with this name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of nur, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, أَوَمَنْ كَانَ مَيْتًا فَأَحْيَيْنَاهُ وَجَعَلْنَا لَهُ نُورًا يَمْشِي بِهِ فِي النَّاسِ كَمَنْ مَثَلُهُ فِي الظُّلُمَاتِ لَيْسَ بِخَارِجٍ مِنْهَا أَوَمَنْ جَعَلْنَا أَفَمَنْ جَعَلْنَا لَهُ نُورًا يَمْشِي بِهِ فِي النَّاسِ. Is the one for whom we made nur, light, by which to walk amongst man, and walking is not physical walking, is he or she like the one who is in utter darknesses, in plural actually? Is the one for whom we made nur by which to walk amongst man like the one who lives in utter darknesses, unable to exit? Laysa bikharijin minha. Of course they're not equal. And what is this light, this nur that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is speaking about? And what is this walking about amongst man? Walking amongst man, not in the physical sense, but living amongst man. Living in this world, we need to know. We need to pursue, we pursue certain things that Allah put inherent in us, such as peace and happiness and joy and that which is beneficial, and ward off that which is harmful. How do I know what is good and what is evil for me? What is beneficial and harmful for me? If I can't see, assume I'm walking in, and this is a beautiful analogy, assume I am walking at night in dark, no light whatsoever, no moon, and no light whatsoever, and I'm walking. What could happen to me? I could hit a rock, I could stumble, I could fall into a precipice, into a ditch, I could be bitten by a snake. Right? Anything could happen to me. And that's what Allah is telling us to ponder about. If I walk in this life without the nur that He made for us, which the other ayah tells us is the wahi from Him subhanahu wa ta'ala, would be walking in this life intellectually, philosophically, ideologically, epistemologically, methodologically, name them all, and the rest. I will be in zulumat. I will be in zulumat or in partial zulumat, and I would think otherwise. And thus, alhamdulillah, the qalb who is seeking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would want to always have that light by which to walk. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, nur, nuru samawati wal ard, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the first human genome, before Adam and before Hawa and before, you know the word genome, right? That which carries everything about humanity, all the imprints of humanity, what humanity are to be and who and so on. We all were from one genome, and science says that too. The genome that existed first must have contained everything about the genetic details of every single human being to come thereafter. Interesting. Well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, before He created us, He, in the dimension that is befitting of His Majesty subhanahu wa ta'ala, He took that human genome and shed light on it. وَأَلْقَى عَلَيْهِ مِن نُورِهِ, says the hadith related by Imam Ahmad رَحْمَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى and others. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shed of his nur subhanahu wa ta'ala, not the light bulb, not the sun, that's just a word, of his nur. But he called it nur for a reason, because it gives life, because it expands, because it elates, because it delights, because it brings peace, because it brings security, safety, and so on. So he shed of that, of his light, on that genome of all his creatures to be, into what is to be their hearts. That light, when accepted and received, will lead the individual to be guided. When that light was not received and rejected, then that person would not be able to see. Dhall. And that is, the ulama would call that is the nur of al-fitra. The nur of al-fitra. The word fitra that perhaps all of you know, that is the natural state in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us. Not only physically, but in particular intellectually and spiritually. The fitra of knowing who we are, what we are, of knowing Allah, our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The natural order in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us, to recognize who we are and to recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to have that propensity of seeing the values of the nobles, the spiritual values. That is the fitra. Every human being has received some of that fitra, some of that light of that fitra, with different intensities perhaps. Now, that was not a full complete nur by the decision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then when we became human beings as we are, and we come out of the wombs of our mothers, and we are as human beings, and we grow, then we receive the wahi, we receive the other light. We receive the other light from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But you see, what is the relationship between the light of the fitra, the nur of the fitra, and the nur of the wahi? Remember, again, in our four-dimensional experience, we need light to see anything else. Correct? And remember, now seeing is not physical seeing. So we have the light of the fitra that will guide us to see the light of the wahi. If the light in the fitra is too dim, or has been covered and clouded and veiled by many other things that we've been learning about, when the fitra has been deformed and the fitra has been mutilated, when the nur of that fitra has been extinguished by zunub and by shirk and by other things, we are unable to see. But when that light of the fitra is still somehow present at whatever necessary degree, wallahu ta'ala a'lam, then one can see the light of the wahi, and then receive that light of the wahi. And then, since that is light and the other one is light, then you have what? Light upon light. Nurun ala nur. And when we have light upon light, you have resonance. You have a greater light. Subhanallah, again, as is in the physical world, when we have, a frequency of a certain light, or a certain signal, and another integer frequency, same frequency, or an integer of that frequency, and the two signals come together. What happens? We have what we call exactly resonance. And you have what? You have the curve that goes into maximum energy. That's how you get maximum energy at resonance. Subhanallah. So when the nur, the frequency of the wahi, and the frequency of the fitra match, you have resonance inside the qalb of the abd. You have resonance inside the qalb of the abd. Powerful energy, powerful illumination inside of the qalb by which to walk, by which to see, by which to know. And it produces, again, an experience inside the qalb, a feeling, a burst of peace and of joy and of expansion inside of the qalb. Inshirahun fi sadr. Inshirahun fi sadr. And an ease for obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. An ease for obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And a delight for obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is an ishraq inside of the qalb. Again, this, the sun has risen inside the qalb of the abd. And then that qalb sees what is good and sees what is evil. And that nur, subhanallah, is also so powerful that it shows even sometimes in the face of the individual, whatever his or her complexion may be. And there are those of like kind of that individual in that state who can see that light in the face of that individual, because it requires another resonance to see. If my qalb is in darkness, I can't see the light in the qalb of that other individual and the light in the face of that other individual. And that light is so powerful also that it overwhelms his or her senses and limbs, and they are then subjected, they become subjects to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It becomes easier to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is nur upon nur. And it doesn't end here, because I'm leading to this ultimate thing about the sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, reaching this level, subhanallah, is the level of certainly Ahlul Yameen, Ashabul Yameen, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes in the Quran. But there is a level even more than that. Now this resonance, this new light, becomes the light by which now to see something else inside of the innermost recesses of the qalb. What? First, through, to see him through his sifat. That mental exercise, remember, that mental realization that becomes a reality in the heart, becomes a taste in the heart, an experience in the heart, that comes after this light. After that nur ala nur, then there is that nur by which the abd, that type of abd, now has in his or her qalb, in feeling, in taste, in experience, the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As-Sami', al-Basir, al-Hakam, al-Adl, al-Aleem, al-Qabid, al-Basit, al-Khafid, al-Rafi', al-Mu'izz, al-Muzil. Now they are not just powerful intellectual realizations, but that nur now is a deeper nur, a more profound nur, a more special nur, a supra-dimensional nur by which now the abd can see something that can not be seen even with some eyes of some hearts at some level. Subhanallah. And that Imam Ibn Qayyim, in his beautiful work Al-Wabil al-Sayyib on Dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, has a beautiful chapter on this. than at that moment, says he, words cannot describe what happens. Words cannot describe what happens. It's beyond description. It's a sirr with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's a private matter with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No one else knows except those who have the same experience. And that person, subhanAllah, when he says or she says, La ilaha illallah, or subhanAllah, that person's heart is there. The door was open and it was told to him or her, come in. Now you see. And Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala says, that person with the sight of his innermost qalb sees Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rising or raising a nation and lowering a nation, exalting a person and debasing a person, and how creating and destroying, forgiving and punishing. Seeing and hearing. Now that person sees that with his or her qalb. And that cannot happen until the nur of the wahi had been internalized and interiorized and externalized in the qalb and in the limbs and in the senses and in the life of the individual. Nurun ala nur. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, something like that in the Quran. Also, when he says subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allahu nur, yes, that same ayah, right? Allahu nuru samawati wal ard. In Surah Nur, a surah called Nur, An-Nur. Allahu nuru samawati wal ard. مثل نوره كمشكات فيها مصباح المصباح في زجاجة الزجاجة كأنها كوكب دري يوقد من شجرة مباركة زيتونة لا شرقية ولا غربية يكاد زيتها يضيء ولو لم تمسسه نار نور على نور يهدي الله لنوره من يشاء وأضرب الله الأمثال للناس والله بكل شيء عليم الله نور السماوات والأرض. Allah is nur of all the heavens and earth and all the dimensions and all the cosmos. And then physical light. And then he begins to tell us about being nur in the spiritual sense. مَثَلُ نُورِهِ كَمِشْكَاتٍ فِيهَا مِصْبَاحِ. And we take our break here inshallah ta'ala. And we come back in a few minutes, like 7 minutes inshallah ta'ala. وَصَلِّ اللَّهُمَّ وَسَلِّمْ وَبَارِكْ عَلَى سَيِّدِنَا مُحَمَّدٍ النَّبِيِّ الْأُمِّيِّ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ.